How many of you want Jesus? Amen?
Amen.
That was a beautiful song. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing. I'm really glad to be with you this morning. I love this church. I believe that this is a special church. And I believe God desires to do something special in this church here in Carson City. But I also believe that God has a special work to do in this city of Carson City as well. And I know that God has people out there that are our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends that are in need of Jesus. That song that was just sung, "Give Me Jesus," that's their heart's cry, but they do not know it yet themselves. They're looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. And we have opportunity to share with them. We were knocking on doors this summer with Youth Rush, our team, and right here in Carson City, amazing things are taking place. There's actually one young man. Now, there's several young people here right now that maybe you don't think God can use you in a powerful way. But this is a young man that was knocking on doors here in Carson City. And he knocked on one door, and this guy came out. He kind of looked like he was a big guy, and he was wearing these really baggy clothes. Kind of looked like a gangster. And my friend begins talking to him, sharing with him, and then all of a sudden, the person that is dressed up says, "Hey, do you know who I am? I'm actually an ex-gang member." And he asked him, "What kind of books do you like to read?" And I like reading gang material and these gang leader books. That's the kind of books I read. And once the man understood that my friend was a Christian, he asked him, "You're a Christian, really? Let me ask you some questions." And he asked a variety of questions, was gunning him with questions, bam, 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 bam. And my young friend was like, "Oh, I hope I can answer all these questions correctly." But at the end of their conversation, the man's like, "You know what, I've asked many people these questions before. I've asked Catholics, Protestants, I've asked Pentecostals, all Jehovah's Witnesses, I've asked them all these questions, and the answers that you gave me today are the best answers I've ever heard. Amen. Where is your church?" And first I came up and said, "Hey, we have a church right here in Carson City." I said, "I've kind of been scared to go to church because people might judge me and think bad things because of how I look. I don't have any other clothes to wear or any other way to appear, but could I come to your church?" Amen? Amen? What do you guys think?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So by God's grace, he'll be coming soon to this very church to visit us and see what the Lord has to offer him here in Carson City, Seventh-day Adventist Church. I got to share one more story as well. My friend Karen, I was knocking on doors actually as well here in Carson City, and she came to one door. She's knocking on doors. It was getting late in the night, and she comes to one, and this person comes out saying, "Oh, I've been waiting for you. Where have you been?" And Karen's like, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Oh, I've been waiting for you guys. Ever since last year, one of your people came to my door, and I love them. I got books from them, and I was hoping you'd come back sooner. I'm so glad you're here." And they began to talk back and forth about how they've been reading the books that they got last year, and she wanted to get more books this year. She got a variety of books, The Great Controversy, Left Behind, I think she got Desire of Ages, a prophecy DVD, and a book for her children. And at the end, she's like, "I really, really want to study the Word of God. Can you come and study the Bible with me? I want to find a church that studies from the Word." Amen?
Amen.
And we just talked to her 2 days ago, and she's like, I can't wait for the Bible studies to start. Please come by my house. I want to study. I want to find a church. Please come. I can't wait." Amen?
Amen.
And those are just a few of the many people in this very city who are wanting to know more about Jesus now. Not sometime in the ethereal future, but right now. So, this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about Thrive. The sermon title is, "Don't Just Survive, But Thrive." As we go into the message, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, asking for your presence to be here with us. Lord, we need your help, Lord, as has already been expressed. There are people here that need you. Lord, we need you ourselves, dear God. Many of us have had hard, difficult weeks, and we need the power of Jesus to revive us, Father. We pray for your Spirit to be here now as we open your Word and search the Scriptures. May your name be glorified, dear God, and may you give us an unction, a passion, a desire to share the glorious gospel that you've given to us with others. Please, Lord, may we not leave here the same as when we came in, myself included. Not because of a speaker, but because of the Spirit of God being present here. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Don't just survive, thrive. At this point right now, I'm going to ask Andrew, wherever you are, to just pass out a little thing to you, a little card. And I want you to examine this card throughout this sermon. All right, I want you, they're going to be passing it out to you. And I passed a similar card out last time I was here, about a few weeks ago. And this card indicates different areas that we'll need help in as we do evangelism this next 9 months in the Carson City area. This Thrive Outreach team will be coming to here to Carson City. And I'm going to be explaining about it more in the sermon. But they'll be coming here and doing many different things. Knocking on doors, putting on classes, doing a full-scale evangelistic meeting here in this church, and we're looking for individuals who are willing to participate in this evangelistic effort. So you're going to get one of these cards, and I'm going to ask you as we go throughout this sermon that you would look at the card, pray, and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to help in bringing more souls to Christ in this area? And if there's something that you would like to do that is not on this card here, I ask you to write it down. Just say, I don't know about any of these things here, but I want to do this. Whatever it might be, write it down and put your name so we can know how you want to get involved. Last time I passed this out, we got several responses, about 7 or 8. But there are many more than 7 or 8 people in this room. Amen? And we'd like to get some more involvement from our church family here. And I'll be explaining more about what this means as we go through the service. All right? So you'll be getting one of those. Please look at it. Please examine it. And please pray about how God wants you to be used to participate in this effort. Don't just survive, thrive. I was leading a canvassing program in Illinois about 8 or 9 years ago, and we have several kinds of different students in our programs. Some students take their bags, like this is not really a canvassing bag, but it's a bag, and they'll take their bags and they'll have their books in their hand like this, and they're going from door to door, and they'll be like just running. Knock on the door, talk to them, they get a book, oh yes, and they go into the next door, knock on the door, and they're just excited, invigorated, wanting to serve God, and they're what I would call thriving. They're doing a lot of work. They're getting to a lot of doors and meeting a lot of people. But then you have other people. And these people are just kind of surviving. I remember a friend of mine, I had a burden for this young kid, but he would go down the street like this. He saw me just running down the street. That's how some people would do it. Most people do it. But this young man was like this as he went down the street. Do you think he thrived? Do you think people were excited to get books from him? No, because he was not excited at all. He was just out there because his parents had forced him to be there, not because he wanted to be there, and he did not care about it. All he was doing was trying to get through the day without getting in too much trouble and walking down the street like a little lazy young man that needed to grow. And so many times our churches are just surviving, but we want to not simply survive and just be here. We want to thrive. Amen?
Amen.
Can you all say it together with me? Thrive. 1, 2, 3. Thrive. We want to thrive. We want to be energetic. We want to have the Spirit of God going forward with us. And we see an example of this in the Word of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. If you have a Bible or a tablet or some kind of device where the Bible is there, please go there with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll be looking at verse 10. No, verse 14, excuse me. Matthew 25 and verse 14. When you get there, you can say, I'm there. Wonderful. The Bible says there is speaking of the talents that were given. Now we have to remember to study this verse in context. Does anyone know what happened in in Matthew 24. Any idea, just a general theme of Matthew chapter 24. What happened in that chapter? The signs of the second coming. We see all these signs and don't be deceived, and there'll be all kind of famines and pestilence, and it'll be like Noah's time. And Jesus is saying to us, get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm coming soon. These are the signs. The very next chapter is 25. And the first story is about what? Anyone remember? Verses 1 to 13 is about what? The 10 virgins. And there's another story about preparing for Christ and his soon coming. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 had their lamps and oil, and 5 had lamps with no oil. And we see a comparison there of those in the last days when Christ would come, who would be ready? And in the next story, in the same context of end times, who God's people will be in these end times, we see Matthew 25 and verse 14. Look what it says. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 15. And to one he gave how many?
5
talents. To another he gave 2 talents. And to the other 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Now, let me see if you caught this. Who is this man speaking to? That's right. His own servants. Now, how many of you like to be a servant? Like, how many of you would aspire? Oh, I'm glad I see some hands. Not everyone's going up. I'm glad I see some hands. Like, some of you are like, oh, I don't want to be a servant. I want to be served. No, but the Bible says that we are all servants. Amen?
Amen.
We're either servants of God or servants of the devil. In Romans 6, verse 16, he says, whoever you obey, that's who you serve, whether of obedience to God or of disobedience on righteousness. And so we serve someone, and the question this morning is, who do we serve? Who do we serve? Think about that. Amen. We serve Jesus. So he's speaking to his servant, saying, I'm giving you all something. Now, is any of those 3 servants left out? No, they were all given something, but they were given each according to their ability. And that shows us that, yes, our abilities may vary. Some may have more than others, but do all have ability? Yes? Everyone has some kind of ability. Look at the next verse, verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. Okay, verse 18, look at this. But he who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Okay, we have 3 scenarios, or 2 scenarios. The first 2, they take their talents that God has given him and they trade. The Bible says. Now, what does that word trade mean?
Invest.
Okay, good. What's another word?
Barter.
Huh?
Barter.
Barter. Yes. Good. I see one in the back. No? Okay. It means, if you look at the Greek word, it actually means to toil or to labor or to put forth some kind of effort, to trade, to barter, to put forth an effort, energy, to make what you have, to make it more. And what God is saying to his people is, I want you to invest time, invest your energies in what I've given you. I've given you precious gifts. He's given us a precious gospel. Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, I get excited thinking about how good God is. I don't know about you. I was thinking about this week, laying in my bed in the morning, reading my Bible, and I was thinking about how good God is. about how good God is, how He really knows who I am, all my sins, all my failures, all my failings. He knows my thoughts even. And knowing me, how bad I am, how sinful I am, He still loves me and died to save me. I don't know about you, but that's what makes me want to shout, hallelujah! Yes. God is so good. And He wants us to work and share that goodness with those we come in contact with. Too toiled, too put forth energy, too traded what God had given them, and God gave them more. One said, oh, you know what? I'm just going to hide this thing. I'm going to bury this thing. I'm going to survive. It's all about survival. I don't want to lose what He gave me, so I'm just going to put it in the ground. I'm just going to survive, and hopefully when He gets back, He'll be happy with me. But what happens? Not happy, right? Those that were invested, those that took risks to invest in the kingdom of God received reward. But those that said, no, I'm just going to hide what I have and just survive as this person, a servant of this God. I'm just going to just lay around and bury my stuff so no one can see it, no one can take part of it, and hopefully I'll be okay. He was cast out. He was simply trying to survive. He did not thrive. Beloved, I want us to be a thriving church, a thriving body of Christ. I myself want to be alive and to be able to serve God because we're living in the very last moments of this world's history. And if you don't believe that, something's wrong. Because we can see it all over the place. God is about to come. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we ready to be called servants of God? What is it? I mean, this is something we need to do. We, as we seek to serve God, we must count the cost. Because serving God is not this simple little easy thing. Serving God is costly. Amen. Serving God takes something from us. It takes something, a desire in us. It's not just a simple little thing. We come to church once a week or twice a week. It's actually a whole life experience. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We're not going to have time to go to the other scriptures. You can write them down and look at them later. They're very powerful. But we're going to go to Luke chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 26. Now, this is a serious verse. Now, you look at this verse and tell me it's not a hard saying. This is mercy. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. When you get there, say, praise the Lord. The Bible says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my... That's a hard saying, isn't it? Now, we have to clarify this. Christ says this again in the book of Matthew chapter 10. And he says, if you love these people more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. So he's not saying to hate your family or hate your father or hate your mother. He's simply saying, if you love them more than you love me, you cannot follow me. Next verse. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Beloved, God is saying to us, if you're not willing to count the cost of what it means to be a true Christian in these times, don't do it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a simple, glorious, fun life, but it's going to be a life that's rewarding because you're doing what Jesus has asked you to do. Amen? I thought I had a good life in the world, partying and drinking and doing all those kind of things that I knew I shouldn't be doing. And it was fun for a little bit. Yeah, sure it was. It was fun for a while not having responsibility or not having a purpose in my life, but it never brought true, lasting satisfaction. I tell you today that only God's word and serving Christ and doing His will has brought true satisfaction into my life. And He'll do the same thing for you. We do not simply want to survive. We want to thrive. Well, what is this thing? What is thrive? You're asking that question. Well, thrive is this new ministry that we're starting here in the Nevada Utah Conference. And it's an acronym that stands for Teach, Heal, Revive, Integrated Volunteer Evangelism. That is what Thrive stands for. And the idea is we're going to bring a company of individuals together, a group of young people that are going to be ministering in teaching, healing, bringing revival, and integrating these things, and they're volunteer evangelists by God's grace. Continuing on. So where did this idea come from? Where did you get this from, Wesley? Is it out of your brain somewhere, or did you stumble upon this idea? Well, I'll tell you what. The Bible says something in Proverbs chapter 29, and verse 18. Proverbs what? Verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people do what? The people perish. So where there is no vision, we'll be perishing. Now how many of you want to perish? Not me. So we need to have some kind of vision, a plan. Okay? Good. So who receives visions in the Bible? Ah, correct. The Bible says, the prophets, the Bible says, then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. So God says, I will make myself known to prophets in a vision, and they will share that thing with you. And if you follow that vision, you will not perish, but you will have life. So we find that the vision comes from the prophets. Okay? So we need to listen to what the prophets have to say. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his what? Prophets, and you shall prosper. Beloved, what we need to do in order to have vision is follow what the prophets have spoken to us. Many prophets have spoken to us in the Word of God, and we also have a prophet for this last days. Amen? Amen. Hoo-hoo. I know some people don't believe this anymore, and that's okay. I don't mind that. But the Word of God says that there'll be prophets in these last days, and if we listen to their inspiration, we would be prosperous. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Anyone know this guy right here? Pastor David Cho? Anyone? Familiar? At all? No? Okay. This man is the pastor of the largest church, not only in his country, but in the whole entire world. The largest. You can check him up online, you know, your tablet or whatever. He's from Korea, and his church has over 8 million members. One church. And so one of our Seventh-day Adventist theological seminary students went there to interview him, to ask him the question, how is it that your church was to grow so much? How did you get 8 million people into your church? This is amazing. And when the minister, Pastor Ho, or Cho, found out that this man was Seventh-day Adventist, he said, oh, you should know. You don't know? He went back in his office, came back out, and pulled these two books out. You can't really, can you see them? Evangelism and Gospel Workers. Someone should say amen.
Amen.
This is a non-Adventist Pentecostal preacher who has the largest church in all of the world. And he tells our pastor, are you not reading what you have? This is your book. I get my principles from right here. And we're growing like crazy. And so oftentimes, too often, though, you know, familiarity breeds, guess what?
Contempt.
And we have these books, and we have lots of them, and people preach about them, and we think, oh, it's all old garbage. No, it's inspiration. Amen?
Amen.
And people outside of our church are seeing this thing. And so I'm telling you right now, this idea of Thrive did not come from me. It came from inspiration. And I'm going to show you in a few moments what she says. Beloved, I believe that if we follow the words of inspiration, we will prosper. How many of you guys heard of GLOW? You guys heard of GLOW, right? You have some in the back, right? You know how that came about? Some young people getting together, like 21-year-olds getting together, reading the books, reading publishing ministry, and reading what she had to say. And like, oh, it's clear. We need to publish little 8-page tracks, little tracks that fit in your pocket, and they'll go out. 8 years ago. And now, 40 million tracks have been printed and distributed throughout the world. Amen?
Amen.
Simply following what inspiration, the Bible, and the spirit of prophecy has to say, God will bless us. Amen.
Amen.
Continuing on. So, we must believe the prophets and we will prosper. Okay, well, this is what he says, evangelism, that same book that Pastor Cho was reading. I want to read to you. A company of workers. There are many lines in which the youth can find opportunity for helpful effort. Companies should be organized and thoroughly educated to work as nurses, gospel visitors, and Bible readers, as canvassers, ministers, and medical missionary evangelists. She's saying that we should bring a company of workers together and they should be trained effectively in these different branches of ministry. Next one. Similar quote. Young men and women, cannot you form companies? And as soldiers of Christ, enlist in the work, putting all your tact and skill and talent into the master's service, that you may save souls from ruin? Let there be companies organized in how many churches? In every church to do this work. Amen? You know, when I saw this for the first time, I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Gathering people together to go out and preach the gospel, young people, and getting the church on fire. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. I saw this quote about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and I was like, Lord, I need to be able to do this. This is what you said, inspiration. It's clear, it'll work. Help me to be able to find and form a company that can do this very thing. And beloved, it's starting now by God's grace. Continuing on. So, this is the plan. We have a team of workers. A team of workers that will be coming here to Carson City. Where?
Carson.
Thank you. Okay. The team is comprised of one volunteer evangelist, one paid Bible worker, two Souls West students. How many of you guys remember Corbin and Mark from Heavenly? Some of you guys remember they came down here periodically. Two students that will be here for a short time. Several volunteer Bible workers, one of whom is sitting right here, Andrew Cota. Thank you very much. You can raise your hand. Boom. Volunteer medical missionaries. And most importantly, who else? Yes, Carson City Church members. All of us are a team. Amen. Yeah. It's not about the people coming in only, but we all must take part of this glorious work that God wants us to do. Continue. Oh, by the way. I should have mentioned this. We're planning, there's a Spanish group meeting here, amen?
Amen.
And I want to see that thing grow. How about you?
Amen.
And some of our workers, actually two of them, are bilingual, amen? So we'll be finding English and Spanish contacts in the community by God's grace. All right, going on. Okay, so what's in this name? What does the name actually mean? Does it mean anything? Teach, heal, revive, integrated volunteer evangelism. Well, yes, it does. I'm going to go through each one briefly for you so you understand what we're talking about with this whole thing. First one, teach. All right. This is the Bible. The what? The Bible. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing what?
Teaching.
Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness and every disease among the people. So we see Christ's method of working here. He was not doing just preaching or just healing, but he was doing something very specific, and that was teaching. Teaching is different than preaching. Right? Amen? You all understand that. Teaching is instruction. Preaching kind of is to inspire, yes, and to teach as well. But he specifically taught. And we need to be taught how to do God's ministry. Amen? Do you guys agree with that? Be trained. Look at inspiration. It says, this is from Ministry of Healing, page, I think it's 143. It says, many would be willing to work if they were taught how to begin. Many people say, Wesley, I want to do something in the church, but I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to give a Bible study or how to invite my neighbor to church or how to share Jesus. But what we're going to be doing is teaching how to do this very thing for those that want to learn. It goes on to say, they need to be instructed and encouraged. Every church should be a training school for Christian workers. Its members should be taught how to give Bible readings, how to conduct and teach Sabbath school classes, how to best help the poor and to care for the sick, how to work for the unconverted. Amen? Oh boy, I'm getting excited here. There should be schools of health, cooking schools, and classes in various lines of Christian help work. There should not only be teaching, but actual work. Amen? Beloved, we need to be taught how to do God's work. Amen? This is the mission of the church. This is why we exist. This is why we are here, and God wants to do this very thing through us. So we're going to have this training in this church, FM 101. And this is on your little card here. It's giving Bible studies. If you want to learn how to give Bible studies, please mark that on your card. We're going to be teaching a class. It's called FM 101, Fishers of Men 101 is what it is. Training in practical soul winning, training how to have a regular conversation and spread Christ in your normal environment. Amen? Oh boy, amen. So we want to be able to train effectively how to do God's work. We've done this in other places, and members have gotten trained and gone out and met people that have come to Christ as a result. Continuing on. Okay, so we got to teach first. Number two, we got to heal. In Christ's message, it said here in Matthew 9, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So we see here that incorporated in God's ministry was healing. God's blessing will rest upon every effort made to awaken an interest in health reform, for it is needed everywhere. There must be a revival on this subject for God's purposes to accomplish much through this agency. Can God bless? Are people sick today? They are, aren't they? I don't know about you guys, but I was down in San Francisco during their Bridges to Health event that they offered free health care or free clinic, dental care, and optometry and all kinds of medical care to the people in that city for 3 days. And literally, I was there in Oakland. I was there, and there was literally thousands of people waiting from 2 o'clock at midnight in the morning, waiting for the doors to open so they could be served. Amen? People are in need of healing, and we're going to offer them what they need by God's grace. We're going to offer cooking schools. We have a depression recovery class that's already scheduled to start in October by God's grace. Amen? For both members, and you can invite your friends. Please invite your friends. We're going to be having free health screenings. We're going to be doing personal lifestyle coaching. All the people that are being trained in our group, the little Thrive group, are being trained on being lifestyle coaches. And so we're going to be incorporating health into this whole thing. Moving on. Revive. How many of you need revival? Amen? I know I do. Whoo, buddy. I know I do. Where does revival come from? Amen. Look what it says. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Psalm 119, verse 88. And it says, in the next verse, I am afflicted very much. How many of you ever felt afflicted before? Like this, Lord. Right? I'm afflicted very much, the Bible says. This is David speaking. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. God said, I want to revive you. I want to give you life. Amen? And the life comes from the word. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's turn there. Hebrews 4, verse 12. I want us all to see this thing. This is powerful. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. I'm sure you probably already know this verse. It's a very popular verse. But we got to go here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Amen. We're there. It says, for the word of God is living, is what? Oh, come on, guys. For the word of God is what?
Living.
It is living. Now, what does revive mean? What does it mean to have revival? Pop back to life, right? For you once were dead, but now you're coming back to life. I need this thing every day. I don't know about you. I need a personal revival with Jesus every single day. So guess what I do? I go to the Word. But why? Because the Word of God is living. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible tells us who we are and shows us how to have a better life. It gives us revival. So we're going to be doing revival as well, by God's grace. As we enter into the Word of God, we're going to experience this thing. I know we all need it. And in inspiration, we're told that we need it. A revival of true godliness among us is our greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. And she said that we need not think that a revival will come except in answer to prayer. Beloved, God's calling us as a body of Christ to seek revival in God's word and to seek revival in our prayer lives. To deepen the experience that we have, to get past the ceremonial compliments that we offer to God in prayer, and to be real with God, and to be earnest and fervent with God. And we will see results. So we're going to have a fall revival in November. A week of prayer, you might say, or a week of revival for both members and people outside. But we're going to focus on the church and its mission. Why we're here. We're going to have group prayer continuing and prayer groups continuing and forming to pray for revival and transformation in our lives. We need to experience personal and corporate revival. And by God's grace, I already see this taking place in our church by God's grace. I see some sparks of revival that are coming up and that are wanting to serve and wanting to share. And I believe that the Lord is moving on the hearts of many people in this very church. Continuing on. Integrated. Jesus combined the preaching of the gospel with the work of what? You see, it's too often times today we see a separate work. We're going to do preaching over here, and then, we're going to do healing over here. But Christ said, no, I want you to bring the two together. And inspiration says the same thing. Look at this. From the light that has been given me, I know that an intimate relationship, what kind of relationship? Intimate relationship should ever exist between the medical missionary work and the gospel ministry. They are bound together in sacred union as one work and are never to be divorced. They're to be together. We're going to combine the health work and the gospel ministry together to bring healing to those who need it. I can't tell you. I mean, I was my first year of Bible work, I was in Chicago, and I was knocking on doors, giving Bible studies to people. And so often, the people that wanted Bible studies were messed up in their minds or messed up in their bodies. And they needed help. They were hurting. But I knew nothing of how to help them. I knew nothing. I was like, how do I help these people? I can show them Bible verses. That's great. But how do I help them practically with their health, with their minds? How do I do this thing? And over the course of years, God has shown me, Wesley, these works must be integrated. People need physical healing and spiritual healing. And so I got trained at Weimar to do some health evangelism. I'm getting some more training right now online by God's grace. And I'm excited about what God's going to do as we incorporate the health message into the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm excited. I'm a little too excited, you might say. That's all right. You know, Paul said that you may think I'm crazy, but it's for God. Amen. All right, continuing on. Volunteer. Okay, so the six workers in our group are going to be here. And the majority of them are not getting a paycheck. They're here because they love Jesus and they want to serve him and witness and serve this church. Amen? Amen. Praise God for that. Amen? I mean, where are you going to find that? I don't know. That's amazing to me. Okay. This is what Christ said. A person wanted to follow Christ. And Christ said this to them. Foxes have holes. And birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We see an example in Christ of sacrifice, a willingness to go out and not have a home, not have a place to stay, and just to work for his Father's purposes. And these young people are saying, I'm willing to do that very thing. I want to follow Christ, and I don't care if I don't have a place to lay my head. I want to serve Jesus. Amen? It excites me to think that young people are willing, when they could be going off to school, they could be making money, they're willing to serve Jesus in these end times. Oh man, I'm getting, Lord, thank you. Okay. In order to serve God properly, according to John chapter 14 and verse 33, we must be willing to give up everything. Now you may have a lot of stuff, I praise God for that, because we need that kind of stuff. Lots of money, we need that. Praise the Lord, you make money. But the Bible says that if we're not willing to give all we have, we are not worthy to follow Jesus. The spirit of self-sacrifice must enter the church of God once again. It must. If we're going to finish this work, it's going to be finished in sacrifice. The work began in sacrifice, and it will end in... Oftentimes, we're too much like Laodicea. Rich and increased with goods, thinking that we need nothing. But God is saying, no, you're poor. Those that have nothing are rich, because they know where their treasures are. Now, I'm not bashing on people that have money. Praise God for those that have money. Amen? You know, my family, they're doing pretty well. You know, doctors and nurses and all that kind of stuff. Praise God. And we need that money. But what I'm saying is God wants us to be willing to give what God's given us to give to others by God's grace. And these people are willing to give what they have to serve this community. Moving on here. We already looked at Luke 14, but we didn't read verse 33. I'm going to read it to you quickly. You can turn there if you'd like. Luke chapter 14, looking at verse 33. Luke 14, looking at verse 33. We read part of this already, and we're going to read the rest of it. It says there in verse 33, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Beloved, that's what God's calling us to do. To be willing. He might not call all of you to sell all that you have and give to the poor. He's not calling all of you to do that. But he's calling you to be willing to give whenever God asks you to give. Amen? Whether it mean money, whether it be time, whether it be effort, whether it be your thoughts or your opinions, God's asking you to give what he's given to you. We are simply stewards of what God has given us. We have nothing by ourselves. Amen? There was a man in the Bible, in Luke 12, who thought he had a lot of stuff. And he's like, I have so much stuff, I don't know where to put it all. What can I do? Well, let me make a new barn and put all my new stuff in the new barn. And I'll say to myself, oh, soul, you're great and you're marvelous. And I'm going to eat, drink, and be happy. And the Lord said, you do not know that tomorrow I'm going to take your life. And what then is all your stuff? Beloved, we must invest our stuff. Whatever it may be, time, energy, and give it to what God wants us to do. All right. So, we have six workers, including myself, who will be supported with 75% of one full-time minister salary. That's how we're going to be supporting this team, by God's grace. Eating. Thank God we have members in this church who have offered their homes for the workers. But we're going to be working off of 75% of a full-time minister salary, sacrificing for the cause of God. Amen? I'm happy. I can't wait to do this thing. I'm so excited about what God's going to do. He's going to pour out his spirit if we're only willing. She says in Desire of Ages, page 251, she says this. There's no limit. There's what?
No limit.
There's no limit to the usefulness of one who by putting self aside makes room for the working of the Holy Ghost in their hearts and lives a life holy, totally consecrated to God. There's no limit. And I believe as we put self aside and put selfishness aside, God will use us in a powerful way. So we need stuff. You know, I thank God for what God's done. He's provided housing for all the workers. He's actually provided a vehicle. Someone donated a van that we can use to travel around this community. And but the Lord, I know Philippians 4:19 will take place. The Bible says that my God shall supply for some of my needs. Right? The Lord shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. God's going to provide for this team, going to provide for the work, because we're not here for ourselves. We're here for service, and we're here for him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right. The Lord desires to have in the office of publication, that's my office, Literature Ministries, he desires to have in the office of publication a volunteer company of workers of clear discernment who will see the need of repentance. The old-time spirit of self-sacrifice must be revived. It has to happen. And I'm down to do it. I'm crazy. You know, I'm crazy. Out of my mind. I am. I admit that. But I really believe that God needs everything of me in order for him to come back. He wants my whole heart. Not a part of it. He wants everything. And I'm willing to give everything for him and for his service by his grace. And I ask God, make me more willing to give to you and to sacrifice myself for your cause. I mean, think about it. Christ gave his whole life. God died to give us life. He thought that heaven was not a place worth being unless we were there. And he gave everything he had, all of heaven, in that one gift to give us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to follow you. Evangelism. The last part of this thing is evangelism. This is why we're here. The church of God, or the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for what? For sitting in a pew? Or what? Is that what it says? No. It was organized for service. Its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. Amen? That's what God is intended for this church. It's not simply to come to a building on one day of the week and to sit here and listen to a sermon. No, his mission for the church is not to be in the building, but to be out of the building. Amen? Amen. The church has left the building. And we're going out there to serve and to seek and to save the lost, just like we sang about today. That's what the church is here for. Not just to sit here, but to be out there. Beloved, there's many people that are in need of Christ. And we need to share that with them. We're going to knock on all the doors in the Carson City area. Every single one. We talked about the Jehovah's Witnesses being here. We're going to be doing the same thing. Knocking on doors. Because I tell you that when you knock on doors, you find people that want to know Christ. Amen? Yeah. Got to share a story with you real quick. We're knocking on doors just this summer in the Reno area. They were having an evangelistic meeting at that church. And we came to a door. And actually, my friend Andrew came to one of these doors. Knocked on the door, and I should share the whole story. I should let you share it later on, like, really well, because I can't do the best to share it. But anyway, to make a long story short, these people are looking for the great controversy. They want the great controversy before they even talk to him. They want it. And they say, I want to come to Adventist Church. We've been watching 3ABN on the TV, and we want to know more about your church. Where is it? Pulls out an invitation to the meetings. Bam, in the hand. We'll be there. They come to the meetings. And a few weeks ago, they got baptized. Amen? Amen? Praise God. If he hadn't knocked on the door, I don't know if they would ever found Adventists. But he knocked on the door, found them. They were looking for Christ, and they came and gave their hearts fully to Jesus. A few weeks ago, several others got baptized, and each one of those that got baptized, we met knocking on doors and invited them to the meetings. Amen? Amen? If we don't go out and seek for them, some of them we'll never find. And that's what God's called us to do. We're going to create a culture of evangelism in the local church. We're going to have a full-scale evangelistic meeting here in this church in a few months, in February and March. And we're going to be inviting the whole community to come out to hear God's word. Amen? Amen. We had one of these meetings up in South Lake Tahoe just a few months ago. Some of you came to that meeting. Amen? Praise God for your faithful attendance. I appreciate you guys. They came, and by God's grace, we had 12 decisions for baptism. 7 have been baptized. We're still working with other people. And God's doing a marvelous thing, even in the little city there in South Lake Tahoe. Amen? Amen? How much more can you do right here? I know God's going to do great things in this church. I know it. And we're going to also do discipling. Those that come in, we're not going to just leave them to sit in the pew. We're going to actually train them as well to be able to go out and do what we've done in sharing the gospel with the community. Beloved, there's a lot of work to be done. There are many souls to be saved. And God has called us to be a part of his harvest. The Bible says the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are what? Are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If my phone was turned on right now, it would have been ringing at 12 o'clock. Because I have a reminder in my phone to pray for laborers every day. To pray for more laborers. And in order for me to pray that prayer, what do I have to do? I have to say, Lord, I'm a laborer. I'm going to answer this prayer myself first and then pray some more. Because I am the one that you're calling. And you are the ones that God is calling to go out into the harvest to bring souls in. He told the disciples, Christ did, don't wait 4 months for the harvest, but right now the fields are white for harvest. There's people that need to be saved right here, right now, and God's asking us, will you be willing to share, to do something? I'm going to ask you right now to take this card out. If you have it, one in your hand, please take it out. And I hope you've prayed about it already, because I want you to write something on this card if you haven't written already, what you would like to do to serve and seek to save the lost. Everyone can do something. If what you want to do is not on this card, write it down and fill it out. We really need help. Amen?
Amen?
I will not do this alone. I will not. And these workers will not do it alone. We will not do it. It's going to be pointless unless the church is willing to get involved, to get active. And I know we're already active in many ways. But we want to do more, and we want to bring everything together as a unit to serve and to seek to save this community. I remember I was preaching a series of meetings similar to the one I'll be doing. And I preached a sermon similar to this one at that church. And one young man, I think he was 13 years old, 12 years old, something like that. He got inspired, like, I want to save someone. I want to bring someone to Jesus. Little 12-year-old. I don't know what to do, Wesley, what do I do? I want to save someone, but I don't know how to do it. It's simple, man. All you got to do is just ask somebody. Hey, man, come. Come to this meeting that we're going to be having. It's like, oh, really? That's all I have to do? Just invite someone to come? Yeah, just invite someone to come. That's all. Just do it. Invite someone, one of your friends. And he went to school, and he had this friend. He's like, hey, man, I know, not too religious or whatever, and God or whatever, but we're having this meeting at our church. Could you please come? Be my invited guest. And the guy's like, oh, sure, I'll come. And so he came on the second night of the meetings, and they sat way in the back. But he kept coming, night after night after night. To the point where in the middle of the meeting, they were not way in the back, but they moved all the way to the front.
Amen.
And every night, I'd ask questions, and they're the first, oh, I know the answer. And we had little notes, and they would write down little notes, and oh, I remember from last night. And at the end of that meeting, that young man got baptized.
Amen.
A little 12-year-old young boy said, I want to do something for Christ. I don't have much, but I'm going to do what I can. And God blessed his humble efforts. God is no respecter of persons. If we're willing to be used for God, God will use us. But what God needs is our willingness. So I'm asking you again. If you haven't filled this out yet, I ask you to fill it out. Put something on there. Put your name, put your number, and we'll be contacting you very soon. These workers that are coming are going to be arriving in just 2 weeks. We'll be coming here, we'll be knocking on doors, we'll be sharing, I'm going to show them to you on 2 Sabbaths from now. They'll be up front here, you'll be able to meet them all, get to fellowship with them. They'll be staying at some of your houses by God's grace. Thank you very much for offering. But we need the Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen.
Nothing will be accomplished without the power of the Holy Spirit. So I ask you, pray. Pray for God's Spirit to move. These workers will be here for 9 months. How many months?
9
full months, a full Bible worker term, they'll be here working and laboring for this community. And I know God will do amazing things if we just cooperate with Him. Next time I come and preach, I'm going to show you the whole schedule of what events we're going to be having, what trainings we're going to be having, and you can get involved in those things as God moves upon your heart to do so. But beloved, if we don't come together as a body of Christ and work together as God's children, the work will not be accomplished. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we saw that they all came together in one accord, in one place. And the Spirit of God descended upon that united body of believers. And amazing things were done. The entire world, the Bible says, was turned upside down. And I believe that by God's grace, we can turn Carson City upside down. You may think, oh, he's just like an idealistic young man that thinks he can do a lot. No, I don't believe in myself. I believe that God's word is true. And he said that if we ask him, he will do what we ask. Amen?
Amen.
We must simply believe and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. At the back of the church, as we leave, we're going to have a young man, Andrew, holding a plate or something to collect your things here. So please do not lose them. Do not put them in your purse. Have them out, ready to pass to him at the end of this service. Beloved, I tell you, there's no greater joy than seeing souls saved in the kingdom of God. No greater joy. And there's also no greater joy than knowing that God used you to play a part in someone else's salvation. That you were the difference between their eternal damnation or eternal life. I encourage you, get involved. I'm asking an appeal this morning as we close the service. Is there someone here that says, you know what, I want to be involved in this thing. I want to take some part in participating in this effort that we're going to be doing at this church in the next 9 months. I want to be involved in some way. Just raise your hand. Amen. That's encouraging to me. Praise the Lord. I know that as we work together with God's help, we will see many souls saved for the kingdom of God. I don't know if we have a closing song or not, but I think we do. We have a closing song? No, we don't have to have one. We don't have to have one. I didn't know if we did. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and we can close this service here. I've spoken long enough, and we've been here for a good time. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, we just come before you as servants, as humble servants wanting to do your work. Lord, we know that people are dying out there. There is suffering and sin and suffering and sickness, Lord. And we have the answers. Help us, Lord, to give the answers to them. Help us, first of all, to apply the answers to our own lives. And to be a living example to those we come in contact with. May your name be glorified, Lord, through this church who I know you are working with and upon. Even though there's no pastor, Lord, you're still working in this church. And I thank you for that. I pray you continue to work. Bring the right pastor to this church, Lord. Bless this evangelistic effort that we'll be having in the next few months, Lord. And may, Lord, souls be saved for the kingdom of heaven. May we fulfill the mission of this church in this place. And may your name be glorified. I pray a blessing upon each of my friends here, Lord. May they go out of this place with a light shining that comes from Jesus. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.